Well, good evening, Harvest families. Come on in, have a seat, and we'll get started. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being here tonight. Lord, thank you for a warm building on a cool night, Lord. Yes, even here in Arizona, it can feel a little cooler sometimes, and we thank you for the building. Thank you for the facilities you provided for us, and I pray that you'll bless our time together tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lord, we pray now that you have blessed the reading of your word as we prepare to transition over to our Bible study tonight. Pray that we glean and learn from the scriptures and things that would help us and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I trust everyone has a handout tonight. And we'll continue here in the book of Proverbs. I think I have most of the passages of scripture in there, but if you want to turn to Proverbs in the event that I've missed one, we'll read here a passage of scripture in just a moment. But we'll continue on Proverbs on abundance. We finished up with the abomination. We started on abundance a couple weeks ago. We had the gems of abundance. Hard work and diligence leads to abundance. Knowledge leads to abundance. Faithful character leads to abundance. And then we'll go forward with two more tonight, letter D, or the first one that we'll cover tonight. Wise counsel leads to abundance and an abundance of safety. Wise counsel. You know, I'm afraid today, you know, the number one thing that what happens when someone calls me for counsel to get some advice or some encouragement, I often will ask them, well, let me tell you, am I the first, second, third, or fourth, fifth person you called on this? Now, number one, and then next I ask, okay, are they wise or are they just your peers? Especially when I'm dealing with college students and teenagers. Are they wise or are they your peers? Because your peers will tell you what's cool, what you think they think you want to hear. Someone who's wise will tell you what you need to hear. And sometimes what you need to hear is not comfortable. So I think it's important that when we have a situation and we need wise counsel, I think we should know who we're going to call before we need counsel. We should have a list. We should have some folks that we know that we have a relationship with that we can call. Say, hey, I need to pray for me. I need some counsel in my life. I need some godly counsel. So wise counsel leads to abundance of safety. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitudes of counselors there is safety. And we'll come back to war a little bit later in the message tonight as we have time. The word counsel is an interesting word. It is a nautical term which means a helmsman or one that steers the ship. A helmsman or one that steers the ship. And I'll say this again, I've said it multiple times. Whoever has your ear will steer. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you watch, whether it be podcast, radio, internet. Make sure they're doctrinally sound because those who have your ear will control, steer, or counsel in your life. A person who does not have wise counsel is like a ship at sea with no one at the helm or a ship without a rudder. The ship aimlessly floats at the whims of the waves and the wind. So does this describe your life? When you have tragedy, when you have difficulties, when you have big decisions to make, are you just drifting along because you can't make a decision? You keep putting this decision off and you just drift aimlessly? Or are you one that wants to get a hold of it, get an answer, get help if I can't do it myself? Do you seem to be floating and controlled by the waves of your circumstances? When those things happen, do you have the helmsman? Do you have the one that steers? Do you have those that you can call on? Are you grounded in the word yourself? Now, Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So we need to seek the guidance of the Lord and those who have God's wisdom in their life. I remember, I don't do it as much as I used to. Folks, I was well into my 30s when I was still calling my dad and asking him for advice. Dad, what do you think? I mean, after all, he's been around 20 years longer than I have. He's made his share of mistakes. I think it's good to have that we can call to. When you have an abundance of wise counsel, the Bible says there is safety. There is safety. See, the word safety is from the Hebrew word takbula. It means deliverance, salvation in a spiritual sense, help, victory, or safety. See, most people that I know want to have help. They want deliverance if they are in trouble. They want to have victory in their lives, even though they may be struggling. Victory is something that they desire in their lives. In battle, in victory over a problem, they want to overcome. See, victory and safety and solutions or deliverance are found in a multitude of wise counselors that can pull their experience and their wisdom to help. But some people are too proud to seek counsel from others. Over the last month, I have received a few phone calls from younger pastors asking, hey, preacher, you got time? I'd like to bend your ear, ask you for some advice. And yes, even though it was another pastor, my question was, well, how many people are you seeking counsel from? Because there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Are these men wise? Are they going to give you good advice, biblical advice? And, of course, the answer was, yes, I've called someone else. And the last time, no, you were the first one I've called. But I've got two more on my list that I'm going to call. And we talked about some of the things that he was going through. Now, if you're one of those that are too proud to seek counsel, those type of people will not seek counsel because they are embarrassed about their problems. They don't want to humble themselves to seek the counsel, or they are so proud and cocky that they don't think they need to seek counsel. In other words, they're acting like a teenager. I thought I'd get a little bigger chuckle out of that. Everyone knows a teenager knows everything, but we need to be careful and realize that we don't know everything. And it's good to get counsel as needed. Solomon describes such behavior as foolishness and that it leads to failure and to eventually destruction. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, these type of folks, they see seeking counsel as considered to be a sign of weakness, and they believe they know it all or their way is always best. But, dear friends, that's not the case. You may not know the best way. You may not know. Who you're seeking counsel may not give you the best instruction if they're not asking the right questions, if you're not giving all the information. A counselor is only as good as the information that you give them. If you're holding back and you're not telling the whole truth, how can it give you good, sound, biblical counseling? Proverbs 13 and verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, let me go back and read one of these verses and give a few illustrations in reference to Proverbs 24, 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitudes of counselors there is safety. And that, in comparing to those, as Solomon says, are not making wise choices when they don't seek counsel. Here's some historical examples. I was hoping Brother Smith would be able to make it here tonight to make sure I get this right. He's a history buff. During World War II, a multitude of wise counselors could have helped the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Sir Arthur Neville Chamberlain, from Hitler's lies. If wicked Hitler would have trusted his military advisors, he would have defeated the Soviets. His pompous arrogance led to his destruction. But let me add, thank God. Counselors tried to save Japan from war with the United States, but were rejected. The end was the atomic devastation of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. 20 million countrymen could have been saved by wise counselors from Stalin's purge in Russia. If the U.S. had used wise counselors, they would have not given Eastern Europe to the Soviet Union. These are disastrous decisions that caused many to fall because a multitude of wise counselors were not consulted or heeded. So sometimes the decision that you need help with or counseling with may only affect you, but other times it could affect your whole family. For a pastor, for a missionary on the field, for an evangelist, or even someone who runs a larger company or corporation, bad counsel could hurt a ministry. It could hurt a company. It could hurt a community, a state, a country, but wise counsel can make a difference. So, dear friend, if you are seeking a husband or a wife or getting ready for marriage, get some counsel before you tie the knot. And that's one of my rules. I will not perform a wedding at all without some type of cancel. And I'm not talking about sitting down one time for an hour. I'm talking about a series of canceling. Make sure you are making the right decision, especially in marriage. And if you are married, if your marriage is falling apart, then get some counsel. Don't let it go down the tubes. And this especially goes for those who are pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, church officers that might be experiencing problems with their marriage. See, it is interesting to note that the word for counsel is takbula, also has a meaning of rope pulling, rope pulling. So when men climb mountains, they rope or they link themselves together so that if one slips or one falls, the others can pull them back to safety. Friends, we need to be linked to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be a lone ranger in your ministry or in your walk with the Lord. That's why I so much appreciate some of the comments the men has made over the last few Tuesdays, in particular this last Tuesday, about how that has helped and challenged them and encouraged them in their fellowship and in their Bible study, and having these type of godly friends and men at the church. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, and it's good for us to have that link or that rope pulling that we can help each other. Be open to seeking and receiving counsel and input to others. Ask someone smarter than you, someone wiser than you, someone that's more grounded than you that could help you. See, many have fallen off the mountain of ministry because they were not linked to anyone. You don't need to be on an island to yourself. Men, ladies, all of us, it's important to have that fellowship and encouragement and accountabilities in our life. The gems of abundance. Wise counsel leads to an abundance of safety. And then letter E, the second one we'll deal with tonight, and we'll be through. We'll try to get through here in the next few minutes. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If you want to enjoy an abundance, don't hoard and be selfish, but give to the Lord and others that are in need. Share the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. Christmas is coming around. I think I mentioned this last year. Christmas is coming around, and Michelle and I, for many years, every year at Christmas, we do some type of gift. Sometimes we can't do it anonymously. It can't be helped. But we try to do something special for a pastor and someone else in full-time ministry, just to be a help and a blessing and encouragement to them. And I always find it amazing when we're talking about it. And this morning, we were getting ready to go to her appointment. We were talking, and Michelle goes, "I think I know who we should help this year." And I said, "I think I do too." And guess what? It was the same family. Exactly the same family. What a blessing and encouragement. And we're excited and looking forward to being a blessing. Honoring the Lord with our substance, again, leads to plentiful barns. In other words, it leads to an abundance of blessings. And by the way, blessings aren't always monetary. After all, we have testimony time once in a while. Are they not blessings that we're sharing? They're not always monetary. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, but often still, nonetheless, they're still a blessing. When you give to the Lord in His work, He is going to bless you. And it really is that simple. You cannot outgive God. It's impossible. You just can't do it. We don't give to get, but we can't outgive the Lord. Those with little sometimes claim that they cannot afford to give. And my answer is, you can't afford not to give. You just can't. You just cannot afford to give to the Lord. Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Very clear there. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Luke 6 and verse 38, this is I love this verse. Given as shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And every time I read this verse, I envision me and my brothers, and some of you have heard this because I've been your pastor for a few years, but some of you may not have, but I envision my mother and me and my two brothers in the front yard raking leaves from the old dogwood tree that had fallen in the yard. Because every day we come home from school, mom would say, okay, boys, before you take off to go play ball, I've got a bag for each one of you. You need to fill it up with leaves. And it seemed like every day for months we were filling up those bags. We'd fill up the bags and we'd tell mom, bring out the ties because we can tie them up. Back in those days, you had those little metal ties to tie them up with. And she said, boys, before we tie it up, bring it over here a little bit closer to the porch. And mom would step off the porch into those bags and mash it all down and say, all right, boys, they're not quite full yet. And she would do that a couple times. And that's what I envision when I see, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how God gives back to us. See, when you give willingly and give to Him first, you honor Him. Don't give the Lord leftovers, the leftovers of your life. Give Him your best and give Him your first. We'll get a little illustration here. I have 10 $1 bills. And I know with inflation, this is not going to match up what we're going to do in my illustration. But you just go along because you know what the reality is. Some of these are more like hundreds and thousands. But let me read this quote again. Don't give the Lord the leftovers of your life. Give Him your best and give Him to Him first. But here's the sad thing what so many people do. Well, got to pay rent. Got to pay the electric bill. Got to pay the water bill. Got to pay the that's a little extra. Got to pay that cell phone bill. Got to pay the internet. Got to pay for the cable. Oh, looky here, I got one left over for God. That's not putting God first. There's no faith in that. It should be the opposite. It should be God gets His portion first, and then the rest comes next. Hard lesson that Michelle and I learned as a young couple in some of those areas of giving unto the Lord first. But the Lord, I had one hard lesson. I learned from it and haven't made the mistake again. But the Lord has blessed. God somehow makes a way to make it stretch. He somehow makes a way to make it to the end. But we need to make sure that we're not only giving Him our best, but we're giving Him first. Giving to Him first demonstrates that God, not possessions, have first place in our life, and that our resources belong to Him. You see, we are only managers of God's resources. Giving to God first helps us to conquer greed, helps us to properly manage the resources that He has entrusted us with, and opens us up to receive God's special blessings in our life. There's no doubt in my mind God wants to bless His children. Amen. He wants to. But we also need to make sure we're putting Him first. When it comes to giving, I encourage you to ask this question. How much of God's money that He has entrusted me to hold do I want to give? And then how much do I want to keep for myself? We can look at it several different ways. God only asks for 10%. He lets us keep 90. I know. Uncle Sam wants more. But He finds a way to make it work when we honor Him and put Him first in our giving. And I've said it here lately, and I'll say it again. A tithe is a debt we owe, but an offering is a seed that we sow. We cannot give an offering until we've tithed. No matter how you try to designate it, put it here and there, you cannot give an offering until you've tithed first. And the Bible is very clear about that promise. I believe that God is pleased with the attitude of keeping Him first. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And you've heard me say it before. I had a pastor used to say, but he'll also take it from a grouch. But God prefers us to give cheerfully. This word loveth, and I think I might have highlighted in the handout there, again is from a Greek word which means to be fond of or well pleased. So he is not only loveth a cheerful giver, he is well pleased with a cheerful giver. See, the only investments, a couple quotes and we'll be finished. The only investments I ever made which have paid constantly increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. Pastors will do their greatest service in leading their men to understand the truth of God concerning the stewardship of time and money. J.L. Kraft. If you don't know who that is, the next time you open up a jar of mayonnaise or cheese, he's the founder, or was the founder. A very wealthy man, but yet he put God in his place. J.D. Rockefeller, maybe you've heard of him. I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I have ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 a week. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, and we'll close with this. Honor the Lord with thy substance, where we begin, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Again, we must take heed. God, wise counsel leads to an abundance of safety, and giving honors the Lord and leads to an abundance. Not always money. It could be good health. It could be provisions. It could be abundance of blessings. But also know that he gives and provides as we put him first in those areas. All right, we'll stop there and we'll pick up next week and talk about a few more things in the area of abundance in the book of Proverbs. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your abundance of blessings, of mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the abundance of facilities that you've given here at Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you for the abundance of blessings and friendships that we have here. And we ask for your continued blessings upon the ministry here and upon our lives individually as well as corporately together. Now, Father, bless us now as we dismiss. Bless the rest of our week this week. Help us to be generous in those that may have a need. Help us to use wise counsel in giving, especially when we don't know others. But, Father, help us to be generous of our time, our talents, and our giving to others. And, Father, especially during this Christmas season. And, Father, help us to be generous to you above that which you ask for. Now, Father, bless our time of fellowship as we dismiss. Bless again the remainder of our week. May you be uplifted and glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.